I think I have to start because we're running out of time. We're quite a bit behind, so I'm going to try and keep it short this morning. But this is for us important in the beginning of 2016. End of the year, just to build a memorial of thanksgiving before the Lord. This is such an important thing to do as a people of God. And I'm going to speak about it a bit this morning, but if you look in the Old Testament and if you look at biblical narrative, just the story of the Bible. If we look at people's lives, we look at individuals that God used, we look at mighty men and women in the Bible, we see that they always had a place where they stopped. God did something and then they stopped and they give thanks. Or they build a memorial, or they build, put some stones on top of each other. And often God commanded them to do that so that the generations following, the people after them, would not forget. And in the Old Testament, it was a lot was about land and conquest of land. So it was a physical thing that they often built, a physical thing that stood in the ground that people could see coming generations. But in the New Covenant, it's not about land anymore. It's about the kingdom, the extension of the kingdom. And one of the primary ways we do it is through spiritual acquisition of land in the spiritual realm. So we don't build physical things anymore. We can still do that. It can mean a lot. But something like that, which we did last weekend, that is in a way a memorial. We just celebrate what God has done. We have a fun time. We drink together, and celebrate together and eat together. And as the song this morning was speaking about the wedding feast of Christ coming back, that's what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to a massive celebration, and all these celebrations we do now, all these moments of Thanksgiving is a prelude to that one day when the bride is coming back for the bridegroom, when we're going to have a massive Thanksgiving celebration to say thank you for what he's done. And if you see in Revelations, it speaks of us coming before the Lord and then he's showing us all the good things he's done and that he's faithful to the end. He's always faithful, like Taryn shared now, he's always faithful in our lives, even when we don't know it, and even when things are difficult. Like Alinda shared, like even coming from a foreign place, he provides for his children. He provides for those we love. So I'm just going to quickly just build a scriptural case for Thanksgiving. And what I wanted to leave us with is, before we end off this year, as a church, we need to give thanks to the Lord, but in your individual lives as well. Go home this holidays. Take some time off when you're there at the beach or having a good time in the sun, or wherever you go in the mountains. Take some time off, take a day off, and just go spend it with the Lord, and go write some things down, and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for what you have done in my life. Thank you what you've done in the people around me. Thank you the character that you're forming in my life. Sometimes, when we don't get to stand still, sometimes when we don't reflect on our lives, we don't even know what God is doing. If I look back in my life, yesterday we were at a wedding, and I look back like the 6 years ago when I get married to my wife. 7 years now, almost. Yeah, it's not completely 7 years, so I can say six. And 3rd of January is seven. I can look back at what God has done just because a baby just fell down there. Okay. We can just look back at the... Thank you, Lord. It's going to be fine. Kids survive a lot of things. We can just look back and say, thank you, Lord, what you've done. And sometimes we need to look back. Sometimes God needs to trigger moments so we can look back at what he's done, at his faithfulness. So I'm quickly going to look at just five or so scriptures just on Thanksgiving, just to get us to think about it. Psalm 100 verse 4 to 5 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And as I was reading the scripture yesterday, I was thinking, what really gets to my heart with my kids is when they come and they say thank you to me. Sometimes just out of the blue, Brendan, especially Rebecca, she's a bit older now, she would just come to me and say, thank you, Daddy, for doing this. Or she would just bring me something to eat and say, thank you, Daddy, for being a good daddy. You know, that moment, I can stop anything, stop doing anything. Because then it just attracts my heart to her. It just makes me want to spend time with her and stop anything else I do, because it's so it makes life worth it. And it's the same with all our relationships, not just parent and child, with your friend as well. If you have a friend that treasures you and celebrates you and gives you thanks, that friend will probably be the friend that's going to be a close friend of yours. It's going to stay a close friend, the person that does it continually. And all our relationships, those who treasure us, those who give thanks, those who come back, those are the ones we're close to. And it's similar with the Father. When we choose to give thanks to Him, then the Scripture says we enter into His courts. But it also speaks of Him in a sense coming and making His courts with us when we live a life of thanksgiving. When we choose to give thanks first. And you might be sitting here this morning and thinking, what have I got to give thanks to God for? My life might be quite difficult. But I want to say to you this morning, if you know Jesus, if you've received Him as your Savior, the reality is you've received 99.999% of everything you can ever be thankful for. Because He's coming back for you. He's coming back for his bride. And it's so difficult for us as Christians to sometimes know that. Sometimes we forget about it. We get so busy with even the things of God and the things of this life and the things that keep us busy. And a lot of those things go wrong. And our families, things go wrong. In our workplaces, things go wrong. And a lot of things go wrong. But the reality is, He will not leave us or forsake us. And that's the place where God wants us to operate from. And it's a difficult thing. Like for me, I'm not a morning person. So I would actually prefer preaching in the evenings. But so for me to get up in the morning and get in a good mood is a difficult one. But you know, this is a key for me. Even when I don't feel like it, I need to get into a good space. And one of the easiest ways is to do it when I don't feel like it. So thanksgiving is a choice. It's not something that we feel like. And that's such an important thing for me. Sometimes I don't feel like giving thanks because I think of circumstances and I don't feel emotionally in the right place. But when I start giving thanks to the Lord, and often I get to the place where I feel like it. And that's a principle, because God then comes and dwells. He dwells that praises. He says we enter His courts by thanksgiving. I'm reminded of a time, I think I shared it last year sometime, when we went on a mission trip to Kenya, and we went to a place called Port Fort Jesus. And that is the port where the Islam people in the 1500s and 1600s, where the Arab slave trade, which is very undocumented, not many people know what happened, but a lot of African slaves was exported to the east through Kenya's Fort Jesus. So thousands of slaves has been exported to that place. And when we got to that place, it was just such a, you could just feel kind of the heaviness in the air. It was like, really, you could just sense it's not a cool place to be at. It's just a history. And we got there, and some of the people, they just wanted to do some spiritual warfare. They just wanted to clear some scriptures. And God said to us, don't do anything, just give thanks. Just give thanks, don't do anything else. And that's all we did, is we just worshipped and praised God and gave Him thanks for what He wants to do with that place. And as we left that place, the whole atmosphere changed. Everything changed around. Because why did it change? It's because Jesus came into the place. And that is actually also a tool of our warfare. One of the first keys of us as Christians to live successfully is to warfare through thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord for what He has done and what He is going to do. Okay, He's a good Father. Okay, the second scripture, I'm going to run through it quickly. Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as He entered the village, He was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When He saw them, He said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God of a loud voice, and he fell on his feet at Jesus, on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, we were not 10 cleansed, we are the 9. Was not one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This scripture is also a very challenging one, because what about those other 9? Didn't God do something in their lives? Didn't He touch them? Didn't He heal them? Didn't He, in a way, save them as well? But only those who acknowledged what God did, only the one that acknowledged was truly saved. And it speaks of a picture of salvation as well. God saves us, but we are, in a sense, still being saved. And our response to salvation, in a sense, determines if we remain saved. Are we thankful for what God has done? Do we remain thankful for what he's done? And it also speaks of God being a God of relationships. Those nine people, God did something for them, but they were not interested in the person that did the things for them. This one came back and said, I want a relationship with you. I want a relationship with the person that did this miracle for me. So through salvation, in a nutshell, has got a lot to do with coming back and being thankful for what God has done in our life. There's so much we can be thankful for. And often the key for us to have that breakthrough, often the key for us to have the next step in our spiritual walk is just to start being thankful for what God has already done for us, what God has done for us in the past. So if you want a breakthrough from God, often the thing we need to do is go back and reflect on what he has already done. That's good in our lives. Reflect on, for instance, the free things we have, like health and a place to stay and food to eat and a family. And maybe some of those things you don't have, but some of those things you do. Start by giving thanks for what God has already given to you. And even when we get saved, there's a lot of things God has already given us before we got saved. A lot of things he's granted to us already beforehand. So it's not so difficult to find them if you really think about it. Like yesterday at that wedding, we were there and that massive thunder shower came over. And I come from Namibia. So I grew up in Namibia. There's not much rain in that country. And I've been in South Africa now for a while, but every time a thunder shower comes, I can't help it. I just have to go and stand outside because it's just glorious. It's powerful, and it was really a powerful thunder shower. It came true. So I could just stand there and I say, God, what can I do but give thanks? What can I do but say that you're good? A key to his hand, Matthew 15, verse 33 to 36. And the disciples said to him, where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed such a great crowd? Jesus was ministering to like 5,000 people, or 5,000 men. They don't know how many people are all together on the hillside. And the next moment he says to his disciples, feed the people. And this is their response. He says, where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place? And I want to put an emphasis on that word, a desolate place. Often we find ourselves in impossible situations. We find ourselves in a desolate place. We say, where is God going to come? Like Alinda saying, Where am I going to get friends? I don't even know anybody here. And to feed such a great crowd. And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? They said, seven. And a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves and the fish. And having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. So there's three things there. They were in a difficult place. Secondly, they didn't have much. Thirdly, Jesus gave thanks. So sometimes we find ourselves in a very difficult place, and the only thing that's going to make a difference is really God. Sometimes there is no breakthrough in the natural possible. But Jesus is saying, just bring what you have. Bring those little loaves and fishes. Just bring what you have and consecrate it to me. And trust me what you have. Trust me with those few things you have in your life, if you have a few. Start giving thanks. Jesus didn't even pray a super spiritual prayer. He just said, thank you, Father, for these loaves and fishes. And it speaks of a thankful heart. Thankful, Lord, for what I have. Thank you, Lord, that I have a car. Thank you that I have a house. Thank you that I have friends. Thank you that I have clothes to wear. See, God is interested in us giving thanks for the simple things. Like I'm interested when my children give thanks for the simple things I do to them. And if that matters to me, then they see what I do for them. Surely, God is that same Father that to whom it needs to matter. And a testimony that always comes up for me is Thomas. He's not here this morning because he's running his market. But you guys all know his story last year. He runs his business to fund his studies. He's finished his studies now, which is another miracle. But he ran a business one day a week to fund his studies. And he needed his car to pick up stock. His car was his means of doing the business to run the market on a Sunday. And one day he called me and he said, my car is stolen. In front of him, it's the only car he has, it's the only thing he owns in this world. My car is stolen. But he says, God is good. He's always provided for me. And within a week, God provided for him a better car than he had. And you know, the key there was to him not to look at his circumstances, not to get discouraged, not to say, God has forsaken me, but saying, God is good. I still got life. I still got a passion for his kingdom. I still got a passion for his name. And he will provide for me. And his situation was dire because without a car, he cannot pick up stock. Without a car, he couldn't do what he was doing. And it's the same for us. Sometimes we have so much that we forget to give thanks because we're looking at the things that we don't have instead of starting to look at what we have and what God has provided. Okay. Another key, the key of the Holy Spirit. Let's check here. This is an important one. Thessalonians 5, 16 to 20. It says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I don't know about you. I can do the pray always part quite easily. That's a more easily attainable for me. I can easily pray. When something doesn't work, I like praying about it. So I say, God, oh, why is this happening? Oh, God, you're not coming true. And those things I can do easily. But it says here, rejoice and give thanks. So that's mentioned twice. And the prayer is mentioned twice. Once in that scripture. So thanksgiving is the overbearing statement God is making here. And then it says there, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So it's in a sense a commandment. And then it goes on and says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. So there's a combination. There's a relationship between the Holy Spirit and a heart of thanksgiving. God wants us to be thankful people. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit, in a sense, doesn't feel welcome. He feels quenched. He feels like an outsider in our lives. And the reason for that is probably the Holy Spirit already is doing amazing things in our lives and has done. So why would he come true if we're not thankful for those things he's doing? Scripture says even the breath that we're breathing came because God breathed his spirit into our flesh. So we are only alive because of the Holy Spirit. We are only alive because God has granted us the gift of life. So once we become start to acknowledge that source, the power that enables us to live, then we can have thanksgiving. I like what Duncan shared in the offering message in terms of how we look at our land and the circumstances in our land. God's heart holds God holds the king's heart like a river. But the challenge for us is, even this week, in the newspapers, all the first 10 headings has got to do with negative news. The currency falling and corruption and bad decisions and cover-ups, etc., etc. So if you look at the news, there's only bad news. Only bad news. And that's a challenge for us as Christians, because it says rejoice always. Find reasons to be thankful. Find ways to be thankful. So for us, a key in our land for breakthrough is finding the things that are going well. And there are things like what we're doing here this morning. That's a gift from God. Just the fellowship of the saints. That's something to be thankful for. Thankful for the friends God has given us. Thankful for the things we have. Obviously, a lot of things we can have. But there's a lot of things we already have. And that's where South Africa says, the stats says we're like 78% Christian. But when I walk around in the average circumstance or read the average newspaper, I don't see that as the communication going out, a positive outlook that God is in control and that God provides for his children. So this is a major key. We want to see the land change, is to invite God into our land by starting to be thankful for what we have. And I always think we look at circumstances kind of always in perspective. We always compare ourselves with other countries. We always compare ourselves with other people, what other people have. But what about those people in the Middle East, for instance? What about those people in dark Africa? What about the people that lived in the time that Jesus lived? The average life expectancy, I think, was something like 24 years of age. That's how long people lived in the time that Jesus lived. So the average person only lived till 24, because life was so... People just died from simple stuff. You get an infection, you die. We can be thankful just for medical progress. Because of medical progress, we can break a leg and it can be healed. Because of we can get a cold that some people would die of, and we can outlive that. But because of we look comparing ourselves to things around us instead of comparing ourselves to the grace that God has poured out in our lives. And it's difficult for all of us, but we need to go to God and say, God, how do you see my life? And how does it compare to the kingdom and to eternity? Okay, and then I want to finish off this morning. I think this is the shortest sermon I've ever done. But it's fitting for the end of the year. Joshua 4 verse 20 to 22. And those 12 stones, this is now after Joshua and the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River, and God parted the waters and they could walk over on dry land. And then they set down these stones. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, where are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. This is so important. Thanksgiving is not something we do just now. It's something we need to instill as a culture. And in Israel, it was a culture. And whilst they were thankful people, often they were blessed by God. And once they dwelled away from God and forgot who He was, it was so important for them to retell what God has done for them to remain saved. And it's the same in our lives. We need to retell those around us what God has done. So it's good to have a New Testament every day, but it's good to also tell those ones of 10 years back, God did this for me. And your children that's coming after you, your new friends you're making, you can tell them what God did when you once got saved. You can tell them what God did in your family. You can tell them the breakthroughs. I got many things that I often repeat in sermons. God just reminds me, oh, God did that. I forgot about that. But that then serves as a testimony. It then serves as a memorial before the Lord. And Scripture even speaks of revelation that the prayers of the saints and the incense comes before God as a memorial. So the things we do spiritually, the prayers we pray, the things we give thanks for, those things all serve as a memorial. And there's like a tipping scale. Sometimes we need to just give a little bit more thanks. Sometimes we just need to praise God a little bit more for the things He's already done, for those scales to tip, for God to do the next thing. And Scripture speaks of be overcome by our testimonies. And thanksgiving speaks of testimonies as well. Testifying what God has done. Because those serve as the bedrock for the next thing that God wants to do in our lives. So if you're thankful people, God can move in our lives. The band can come forward so long as we finish off this morning. Okay, so I just want to keep it simple. Those are the points I want to leave with you this morning. Practice habitual thanksgiving. It's like I said earlier, it's a choice. It's not a feeling. And then invite the Holy Spirit into your life. And when you want the Holy Spirit in your life, just start to thank Him for who He is, what He's done, what He is going to do, and that He is God's helper in your life. And then, fourthly, if you need a breakthrough, instead of getting despondent, practice thanksgiving. Practice getting into a space where you're not downcast. Like David says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. Praise Him again. And then, serves as a memorial before God. God just loves a relationship. He loves it when we speak to Him about how good He is, what He has done in our lives, His faithfulness. Okay. So this morning I felt I needed to just publicly say thanks to the Lord for a few things. But I want to challenge us as well. Make some time this holidays with your family. Like what we normally do in Christmas or New Year's. The presents and the things are cool. But we try, if we were family, we try and facilitate a conversation around dinner or around a meal May we just all say, what are we thankful for? And even those who don't know the Lord, they can still find something to be thankful for. And then we just share what we're thankful for. So use this time and holiday. You said this, the Americans have got Thanksgiving Day, and it's such a powerful thing they do in America. I think it's one of the reasons why they're such a prosperous nation. That day just speaks for so much. Such a powerful testimony of what God can do just by them being thankful people. So go this holiday. Go ask the Lord, what can I be thankful for? And practice that. And practice that in holiday times is always a good time to start new habits, because you don't have so much distractions. So what I want to do this holiday time, I want to make sure I wake up in the morning and be thankful before the Lord. I want to get a song, sing a song before the Lord. Be thankful with the kids, celebrate my kids, celebrate my wife, celebrate the good things God has done this holiday. In a sense, challenge all of us. Let's use this holiday time, if you have holiday. Those who don't have holiday, try and do it in your work time. The doctors amongst us. Let's do that. Let's become a thankful people before the Lord. And sooner than we know it, it will become a habit. It will become a discipline that we do continually.